coming to full age. This means growing up. It means reaching a level of maturity. Let me take you to Hebrews 5. The apostle writing to these Hebrew Christians who were living in Rome, as pressure came upon them and Christianity was becoming being viewed with disfavor, as it is in our country today, they were tempted, being Jewish background, to withdraw their Christian sign and just be known as believing Jews. Jews had had a long-time relationship with Rome, and Rome pretty much left them alone. The apostle is telling them, don't do that. Take the stand. Now notice the argument here, starting with verse 11. Of whom we have many things to say. He's going to tell them, teach them about Melchizedek. And people are still getting Melchizedek wrong, but you have to listen to what he has to say here and understand that it's actually part of the history. But he says, it teaches us many things, but I have many things to say, hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. You have to go back to the elementary stuff. And are become such as have need of milk, like babies, and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful. The King James margin here says the Greek is literally hath no experience in a word of righteousness, not experienced in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belong to them that are full age, or perfected, you see. Even those who by reason of use, or as a habitual thing, or perfection, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. In this series, I've been talking about truths unto godliness. We've been looking at a series of doctrines that lead us into greater godliness. We want to encourage us to cooperate with God. The purpose that God has for the church, I was mentioning this morning, Ephesians 4:12 tells of the purpose of the church, not just some of the things that it does, but it is the perfecting of the saints, which will then include, if you become mature, if you become perfected, you will then do the work of the ministry and edify the body of Christ. What then is he talking about? If we urge you to become mature Christians, what in the world are we talking about? Well, let's look, first of all, the characteristics of immaturity. If we were to scan across the United States and see what is going on in churches today, we're going to find that a lot of these places are content with immaturity. In fact, a lot of the churches are large enough that they can't do what the early church did, and that is actually put things to the vote by the congregation. They can't trust the congregation to make a wise choice. So they have pulled back, and so it's not congregational government anymore, it's just a pastor and some of the deacons that run things. That's actually a Presbyterian form of church, not a Baptist. What is characteristic of immaturity here? Well, he says dull of hearing. Dull, later in 6:12, dull is translated slothful. He says you have lazy ears. The word is a condemnation for laziness. Hearing is the common word for hearing, and they had fallen into lazy listening. There are two types of people that I preach to, at least two, and one is where they're looking at what I'm saying, they're watching the screen, they're taking notes sometimes, or at least they're seeing what I'm talking about, they're nodding their head. I'm encouraging you to do all this, whether you believe in it or not. But the idea here is that what are they doing? They're actually listening, taking it in, you see. And then there are some that are just looking, you know. This is called sleeping with your eyes open, you know. It's just waiting for this to be over, you know. I enjoy the music. My brother-in-law and I, we were good friends before I even met his little sisters. When we were down at Bob Jones University, they had a series. We called them practice shacks, but they were studios. You know, it's a little thing with a piano in it, and a little box. Well, we would find one that's empty, and he played the piano. We would find an old hymnal that we didn't know, and we would turn through. Look at some of the words and find words that were just deep and exciting and thrilling. And then he would play it, and we would work over it and sing it. And even songs that we were familiar with, we would examine the song, and we would sing it together. That was fun for me, adventures in music. But getting to the preaching is pretty much how I evaluate the churches that I visit. Is the Word of God going to be preached? So these people had fallen into lazy listening. They did not hear to learn and learn to obey, you see. They listened to fulfill a ritual duty. I put in my time. They attended church to be seen as a good Christian. In reality, they were babies in the cradle, mentally playing with their rattles as the Word of God was set before them. Lazy in their hearing. He says, these are the people who always need reteaching. Needing reteaching. You have need that one teach you again. The second point. Dull of hearing and then needing reteaching. You have need that one teach you again. So, need speaks of necessity. That's the root of the word. The lessons taught by God in the Bible actually are essential to life. This is not just little extraneous trivial facts. These are things that people need to live correctly. Christ said, I want to bring you life, and that more abundantly. He was talking to living people. But he said, this isn't the kind of life that God intends for you. It should be richer. It should be more meaningful. It should carry with it a great purpose. The young person who plays in church is the one who falls into sexual sin in the world. You need these lessons in actual life. We who have the responsibility to teach will evaluate your listening, not with a written test, but by seeing the fruit of your life. We have seen some of the kids growing up visiting this church often that never really listened. They enjoyed what we did with them, but they didn't hear the Word of God. The one who continues to fall into the same mud pit and ends up just wallowing there a while before coming to his senses and deciding to get cleaned up, that's a person who is in a cycle of need. You have to get them out and wash them, hose them down, sober them up, or whatever it is, and teach them all over again. A third characteristic of the immaturity is clinging to first principles. This is sometimes encouraged by the churches, by the preachers. All they know is getting saved, how to get saved, how to lead somebody else to get saved, and that's it. The first principles of the oracles of God. They could be given only easily understood doctrines. Some people hate going beyond that. We had a family here, a young family, that the wife convinced the husband that they had to leave the church because she didn't like lessons in the sermons. That was too much. I always thought this was the worst possible excuse for leaving a church. First principles here that he talks about means the elementary beginnings. The building sticks of whatever you're talking about. The oracles of God is a strong phrase, picturing the Bible as a holy prophet giving forth the very words of God. How sad to become a Christian, but just sit on the porch of the mansion. Never go inside. You don't get to explore what God has for you. You may discover treasures of life and eternity in the Bible. You see, the desire to get grown up in the Lord is an excitement about finding out something you didn't know before and applying it to your life. God has in the Bible secrets to happiness in life, resolution to conflicts. It's all in the Bible. There is light and truth in the Bible to combat the darkness and the ignorance of the world's superstition. He says a fourth characteristic of immaturity is needing milk. Just the little pablum of simple preaching are become such as have need of milk. Now, God made mother's milk a special diet for the baby. It has extra fat and calories to promote growth. It's infused with special medical help from the mother to guard the child against the disease. The power of the mother, the immunities of the mother are carried on, to say from or form. Medical help from the mother. But it's not for the adult. Imagine the adult that has grown so fond of mother's milk as a baby that he demands it the rest of his life. What was a good beginning was a deadly for a working adult. The adult who needs milk is a broken and damaged one. He cannot chew. He never had to. He's so taken by taste preferences that he shakes his head at meat and potatoes. Wrapped in a cocoon of plasters, covered with hospital blankets, spoon-fed milk, to give him only the very basic life sustenance. This is not where we want to be as a Christian. You see such a one and your heart breaks. I was at a home where they had like a sandbox wall in the corner. It was all covered with lumpy blankets. It was too big for a dog, even a big dog. Something moved in it. And it was an adult, very, very thin adult. And they took the opportunity of this, which was kind of startling for us who didn't know what was going on. Just asked my son. His mind never developed. So we feed him as a baby. And that was just so sad to think of what could have been, you know. So you can imagine the potential that he'll never reach. You are happy he's alive. You're grateful to those who give him the milk. But you grieve that he cannot and will not become productive. You will never sense the joy of success in his Christian walk. Again, the immature one is unskillful in Bible principles. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful. The Greek hath no experience in the word of righteousness. Useth is literally the one partaking of milk. Unskillful means has no experience. And the Bible is called here the word of righteousness. Righteousness, the right way of doing things. This gives a picture of one with no skill in performing the acts of righteousness that the Bible instructs. No practice, no skill. God gave principles of proper finance. Were you aware of that, you see? He offers principles for a loving and harmonious married life. He provides principles of rearing godly children who know how to stand alone for righteousness. All of this is there, all to be taught. But the immature Christian has failed to practice these principles. His awkward attempts are so feeble that he soon fails, and then he decides that God's principles do not work, at least for him. And he is childish. And this is the worst part of it. You're in a church and there's somebody who's just childish. Childlikeness is great, you know. Trusting, loving, ready to receive people and so on. Childishness is terrible. for he is a babe. This word babe is the word for infant. Squalling infant. I know what I want. I want what I want. If I don't get it, I cry and scream. Make everybody else uncomfortable. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 and 2. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, fleshly, even as unto babes in Christ. Trying to have a discussion with a baby. See? People do that. And they go, boo, boo, ba, ba, boo, ba. I never liked to do that because I didn't want my kids growing up learning to say boo, boo, ba, ba. We didn't call things by baby names, you know. We said the right words and let them learn that. So he says, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto, up to this time, you are not able to bear it. Neither yet now are you able. The Corinthians church, the 1 Corinthians especially, he just deals with one problem after the other, after the other, after the other. And in it he says, I have to keep going over this because you're not getting it. You weren't able to bear it. When in chapter 13 he deals with the essential problem, which was their lack of understanding what godly love was, he says in verse 11, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought or reasoned as a child, but when I became a man, when I grew up, I put away, the thing vanished away, the childish things. You see, if we visit your home and find you still have that pull duck toy that goes quack, quack, quack as you pull it, and that every night just before you go to bed, you get it out and you walk around the living room with it, I'm just going to say, I'll be disappointed in you. I just will be. It's just that you should have put such things away, given them away, give it to a child. 1 Corinthians 14, 20. Brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children. See? Don't be cunning, revenge person. Be like a child. But in understanding, be men. And the King James margin here tells us men here to be perfect, be a ripe age, be grown up. All right, with that then, the bad side of it, not having full age, let's look at what are the characteristics of maturity. This is interesting to me because he says, this is the time when you should have been teaching others. We spent the time this morning looking at, as church members, your ministry to one another, the things that God asks you to do with one another, not only to love them, to care for them, to put up with them, to be agreeable with them, to minister to them, but to edify them and even exhort, admonish. In other words, you're handling the Word of God to where you would say, I'm not just telling you I don't like what you're doing. I'm telling you there's a better way. And for your sake, look what the Bible has to say here. Teaching others. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers. Go back to the way things started. The early church taught. In Ephesians, or Acts 5, 28, 29. Saying, did we not straitly command you, the political leaders, the Jewish leaders, command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, your teaching, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. These were the guys who said, his blood be on us and on our children. Then Peter and the other apostles answered, we ought to obey God rather than men. We are teaching, we will continue to teach until we can't. Acts 5:42, daily in the temple and in every house they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. And so a growing church needs people who are ready to take on the teaching positions that open. My wife and I were talking today about sort of a history, going back, trying to figure out in the parking lot there, when did my actual ministry begin before Open Door? It was just really a few years before Open Door. Next year, it turns out, I'll be 50 years in the ministry. That's sort of an achievement. I didn't die, so I'm really encouraged about that. But the thing is, Open Door has always expanded to take care of what we have as needs. When we had a pretty good group of young people, we had people that took over working with the youth. We had more of a group that could sing. We had a choir. What we have done since then is to adapt to the needs of the day. So they taught, see, and we need people who are mature enough to take over the roles of those who get old and can't do it, you see. They teach others, but they also do something else, and this is in preparation for that teaching. They can digest strong meat. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. This phrase, strong meat, means firm food. Meat is just the general word for food in the Greek there. So it could be a steak. I like a good steak, good firm steak. I like real soft prime rib too, but firm food. Could be a steak, but it could also be healthy garden vegetables. But the baby does not have the teeth for firm food. Can't do it. Full age is the Greek word teleos. It means brought to an end, finished, reached a stage of perfection. This is the person who has reached his adult growth physically. He can bite into a crisp apple, he can crunch nutritious nuts, he can sink his teeth into a hot, juicy, thick pork chop. Are you hungry yet? These foods provide nutrition for a working person. They provide vitamins and calories for the muscles to burn. Spiritually, Bible education brings us ideas and principles that are essential to Christian life. Chew on those doctrines. See? You say, oh, that was over my head. Well, think about it. Take it in. Chew on it. Chew on the preacher. Right? I had that phrase used this morning. My wife tells me. Take them in. Let them do the work of growth in your spirit and life activities. A third characteristic, they have practiced senses. Those who by reason of use have their senses exercised. What's going on here? By reason of use translates the words through habit or by habitual doing. Growth as a Christian demands practice. Ever think about that? You have to learn certain things by practice. The baby learns to walk by practice. I had my grandchildren with us, and we have a picture of the granddaughter. How old is Zoe now?
Three.
Zoe.
Ten.
Ten, yeah.
Nine,
okay. And a picture of her in a Christmas dress, and she has her little hands out there because she was a toddler, you know, keeping her balance and so on. I pointed it out to her. She laughed at it. But she doesn't have to think about walking now. She runs and jumps and all sorts of stuff. But practice. Senses means literally the faculty of the mind for perceiving, understanding, or judging. This is your ability to think something through, not just senses of seeing and so on. This is your sensory ability to perceive with understanding. And then those are to be exercised. This is the perfect passive participle, so it means to be exercised. As in a gym. In fact, it's the word gymnazo, the word we get gymnasium from in gymnastics. So let me ask you, what athletic talent have you learned? Have you gone roller skating or ice skating? Trampoline? Anybody do that? I worked on trampoline. You imagine me on a trampoline. But I did that, learned to do the flips and stuff. Skiing. I've gone down a few snowy hills. Didn't do very, very fast, but I was skiing. Parallel bars. I worked on that. Balance beam. I didn't work on that. Have you done that? Have you learned these things? Whatever it is, you did not do it well immediately. You had to learn. You had to practice. You had to work at it. Well, that's what he's talking about here. Your ability to perceive and understand and judge will not come automatically, will not come easily. You must practice it by doing what the Bible says to do. Now, that's what he says in Romans 12, 1 and 2. He says, the proof of God's work, the doing of it proves that God is right, you see. So you have to put it to the test. You need to approach situations with the Bible's view in mind. You have to see it for what it is. And the last one is this. You can discern good and evil. Now, some of you would say, well, everybody can tell good and evil. Not so, actually. So discern both good and evil. The world around us has shown itself to be so focused on lusting for their appetites, lusting for ownership, lusting for ascendancy over others, that they no longer recognize good and evil. And some of them are preaching there is no such thing as good and evil, only successful or unsuccessful. This word good, it's that broad word. It means to all that is beautiful and excellent and precious, useful, suitable, commendable, admirable, all the lovely things. Evil, just the opposite. Everything that is base, wrong, wicked, troublesome, injurious, or destructive. That's the difference between good and evil, and you can discern this. The world today is turning toward destructive human behavior. And they're calling it good. They are turning viciously toward the killing of those that interfere with their life. And they call it rights. Why does the world not see these things for what they are? Because their faculty of perception has never been trained by the Word of God. Isaiah, so long ago, dealing with the collapse of Israel, God's punishment, he said, here's what happened. Isaiah 5:20, woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil, and put darkness for light, and light for darkness. Put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. They can't tell the difference. In the Bible, children are a blessing. In the world, children are problems. Don't fall for that. In the Bible, keeping one's spouse is good. In the world, it's boring and restrictive. In the Bible, the ability to work, Labor Day tomorrow, is the gift of God, was to Adam before sin. Gave him a job to do, to labor, to fulfill his potential, to be productive. In the world, it's a tiresome necessity. They only work to get retired. Let us become mature Christians. It does mean some study. It does mean some active hearing, noting and questioning, checking with things. I am thrilled from time to time to find somebody that says, oh, I just love that message. I wish I had taken more notes. I said, I'll give you my notes. I have it on a computer, you know. So, this is somebody who the light went on. They said, this is something I need. This is something I want. Great. Growing up, as we should. Let's bow for prayer. Father, as we come to you and understand, this is your goal. You see us as children. And while that's always precious and cute, how much better to see them grow up, as my first granddaughter just got engaged to be married. We just thank you, Father, that she didn't stay a little baby, as cute as she was, beautiful as she was, now to be a beautiful bride. We ask, Father, that you might give us the desire to be such in your eyes as Christians, as growing up in thee. For you don't pay attention to the physical, but rather the spiritual. And so we who are grown up physically, if we're still babes in knowledge and in our spiritual growth, you see us as wasted individuals. We ask that you might help us to be determined to use the Word of God, to use the church services to grow, to build, to exercise. We ask that in doing this, we can become useful tools for you, to be used here or perhaps even across the world. We ask thy blessing then on us in Jesus' name. Amen.